This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on Red-Hot-Mama.com. It's July 30th of 2007, and this is episode 69, dudes. Yeah, excellent air guitar there. I'm your host, Amanda, and with me, as always, is the crack technical staff, my wonderful husband. Welcome
Party
to the show,
on.
Johnny. No, that's Wayne's
Oh, time. Dang it. Be excellent to each other.
To each other. There you go.
Party on, dudes.
And party on, dudes. So, excellent alien butt. Here we are.
Don't call me that.
Here we are.
I have feelings.
You do have an excellent alien butt, though. I wouldn't have married you otherwise.
I cannot split into two, though.
No. Well, no. Anyway.
So this is the big show.
Yeah. This is the big, you mean the number 69
no,
show?
No, I mean the
or
trading
the fact that it's the show before the trading, the non-waiver trade deadline. Actually.
Not the we're not recording on the actual night of,
no,
I suppose. That's tomorrow night.
Recording on, and if something were to happen, I suppose we would probably record again.
Yeah, we could pop in for
but
a
minute. But I don't think anything else is going to happen now, because they've already gone and traded Loesch, which was the big thing. Everyone was saying Loesch was due. I don't know what the meaning, what the reasoning was behind that, or what the it's just that C.
Just
Trent announced, hey, he's not going to be back, and
yeah.
Didn't say why or what's going on.
He didn't say why, but it seemed like a foregone conclusion that they would trade him for anything,
mm-hmm.
because he's not a free agent next year, but he is arbitration eligible.
Mm-hmm.
And he would probably get a pretty hefty raise considering what other crappy pitchers have signed for.
Sure.
And it's so the Reds wouldn't be able to afford him. They'd be overpaying for him.
So they're looking, but one would think they would still have to get something in return. I mean, otherwise just like let him walk or something, right?
Get a draft pick if they think he's good enough, but. And they did. They traded him to the Phillies.
I've been neck deep in Harry Potter land, having just
finished. It's kind of funny because, you know, the new book comes out and you're like suddenly into Harry Potter.
Well,
it's number five.
Well, it's not just that. It is partially that. It's not just that. It's partially that, but it's that I think it's going to become impossible for me to avoid the ending forever. You know, they're going to start making references to it on Saturday Night Live and stuff. And I have to catch up. Plus, I would kind of like to see the movie, and I prefer to read the books before the movie.
So you can, like, feel dissatisfied with
the
things that aren't included.
Yeah, pretty much.
You can be that person, like, oh, that's not how it really happened.
It's sort of, do you remember reading The Princess Bride? It's, like, possibly the only book where there are parts of the movie that are actually better.
Yeah.
I mean, they cut out some pieces, obviously. You'd have to.
Well, that one was kind of interesting because the actual novel author was primarily a screenwriter.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right, and he comes up with this fake story. And I don't know if anyone out there's read the book, and this really is diverging from the topic, but like I said, I've been neck deep.
That's okay,
Harry
nothing's
Potter
going on.
For the last 2 weeks, I'm into literature right now. But he tells a story of his father reading him this book, and then he gets the book later in adulthood, and he goes through and edits out, and he finds out his father had been editing out the boring parts and only reading him the good parts, and I think that it's a sham. He makes reference to this big novel, this big
long boring
big book,
thing.
And go and look up the original and read the 50 pages on the wardrobe of the woman and how boring it was and everything, and I've gone and looked for it, and it's not there, and he made it all up.
Yep.
Which is kind of genius. Kind of weird, but kind of genius. But in any event, there's a couple parts in the movie that are actually better than they were in the book. So it's one of those moments. That's what you get, I suppose, when your novelist is a screenwriter. Which is not what we're getting in Harry Potter, not remotely. But I do think that one character in the Order of the Phoenix, the Tonks character, which when you get to read it, you'll know all about her. She can change her appearance, so she can look like anything, and she's all the time changing her hair color, And going to pink hair and purple hair and stuff. I think, yeah, she wrote that character just so she could appear in the movie. Because that's gonna look good in the movie. That's her only reason for being right there.
Oh, that's funny.
She's going to be some hottie walking around with her hair all pink. Anyway, so tell me about the deal for Loesch, since, like I said, I haven't been paying any attention for the last couple of days.
Well, they traded him for a left-handed wizard.
A wizard?
He's really good at Quidditch.
Well, that's good, because I think that they're in need of a new seeker.
Anyway, Kyle Loesch for Matt Maloney from the Phillies. He's left-handed. He is a left-handed pitcher. 23 years old. He's been at AA this year. He's done okay. He's rated their ninth best prospect.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
their ninth,
top 10
their
isn't
ninth
too
best
bad. Friend. I don't know where he is for pitchers.
What do you think the Reds' ninth best prospect is?
Yeah. They might have traded him away in their other trade recently.
Yeah. Well, so I don't know. You think it's worthwhile? Was that, I mean...
I don't know.
Loesch was not, didn't suck. And
no, well, he did half the time. Well, more, I don't know. It was so weird. He was so inconsistent. Like, it seemed like he was more often bad than good. But when he was good, it was like frickin' Cy Young out there and no one could touch him.
So what the heck? So you just need to... Get his head on straight?
Yeah.
The Reds going to miss him next year?
Only if he goes to St. Louis.
No.
But no. He's not... I don't think he's the leading contender for the Reds pitcher to
bounce back. Well, yeah, I was
going to
say, I don't think that he doesn't fit the profile.
No.
He would have to be bad across the board, not just bad and good, wouldn't he? I mean...
Well, you know, Josh Hancock was okay. I mean, he was serviceable.
He was pretty much consistently what he was. He wasn't that flashes of brilliance and then not that great other times. He was just kind of... And then he went and bloomed with St. Louis.
Yeah, but he was only a reliever there.
That's
so
true.
It's not uncommon for pitchers to improve once they move to the bullpen from the starting rotation. But still,
he'd done that in Cincinnati too, though, hadn't he?
Yeah.
He wasn't a starter by the time he left.
I don't know. I don't think it'll be Loesch, that pitcher that the Reds let go.
Nah, probably not.
But anyway, back to the guy they got, AA.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things I read seem to indicate that he's probably 2 years away from the majors, which ideally I would have liked.
Seems consistent with being in AA.
Yeah, ideally I would have liked to have gotten some guy who's maybe a year and a half away.
Well, you know, the closer he gets to being major league ready, the crappier he's going to be. The lower his his potential is. So.
Of course, maybe by the time
they should have done
Maloney,
has gotten middle schooler.
By the time Maloney reaches the majors, though, Kresge might not be around.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's true. But I mean, that could be said of any day this week. by the time Wednesday gets here, Kresge might not be around. You just don't know. Maybe
he's more of a location pitcher than a. Fastball pitcher. His fastball gets into the low 90s.
He's a AA pitcher. I don't even care.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything else here that we need to know about before we move on?
He strikes out more batters than he pitches innings. So he's got more than one strikeout per inning.
Oh,
so that's a solid
nice
sign.
All right.
Hopefully he can keep that up.
All right. Welcome Maloney. And I'm sure you've endured all manner of baloney and
phony Maloney.
Yeah. We'll have that to look forward to in 2009.
Yeah, but only from one of the Reds papers.
Oh, that's right, because the other one will have
shut down.
Will have folded by then. good times. What else we got? I understand that our favorite Love Shack is gone.
Yeah. He never, ever was able to recover from that Match.com fiasco.
As the Reds continually remove any trace of character or personality from their ranks. Loesch is
like,
is
so
gone
is Friel
going
to be traded on at the deadline too?
Oh my
right?
gosh,
he's about the only guy.
Oh, don't even say things like that. There's probably somebody who's got 15 single A crappy relief pitchers that they can trade for.
It wouldn't be actually a terrible idea to look at what you could get for Friel.
Oh, for crying out loud! It depends on where he went.
Yeah.
Can't you just see it?
Yeah.
Goes to St. Louis. Hopefully they would know not to trade him in division. But, you know, you just never know. I mean, they were all ready to trade down to the Brewers, apparently.
I don't think that was real.
Come on! Okay, so what'd they get for Love Shack?
They sent Shackelford and another guy who'd been doing, a reliever who'd been doing really good in the minors, AA and AAA, Calvin Medlock, to the Tampa Bay Devil Rays for...
What in the
world does... A power-hitting strikeout infielder.
What in the hell does the Devil Rays have to offer? How is their minor league system? Are they any good?
It's not even exactly a minor leaguer. He's...
I was going to say, are their minor leagues just, like, on the field? Don't they just play a AAA team all the time? Wow, that's just what the Reds need is more power hitting.
I think
Thank
it's
goodness
actually
they finally addressed
a really
that
minor trade. It doesn't mean anything. It's just kind of like, oh, okay. I can't see Jorge Cantu, the guy they got, the infielder, fitting in anywhere. Unless they're going to get rid of, like, Edwin Encarnacion or Alex Gonzalez and move Phillips over to short or something.
Well, I mean, Gonzalez isn't around for much longer, is he?
I can't remember if he signed for 2 years or 3 years, but he's definitely here through next year.
Oh, really? Why? Well, you know what? I feel like Gonzalez is a stopgap. But that's kind of ridiculous, because it's not like there's someone waiting in the wings to take over or anything. I don't know. It just seems like, as far as, like, having someone really spectacular at shortstop, Gonzalez isn't the one. He feels like a stopgap to me.
It seemed like he would be, you know, given his track record, but no.
I think it's wonderful how much power Gonzalez has found in Cincinnati, which, you know, is like the magical power. It's the superpower of the Reds organization.
Cantu does get here. Well, 2 years ago, he was like the best player on the Devil Rays. He hit like 28 home runs, drove in over 100 runs. It was a really good year. And he was injured a lot of last year, and he's sucked all of this year.
Awesome. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yes, Gonzalez is signed for 3 years.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, so there you guess I had to get used to him then.
Used to him booting routine grounders and everyone giving him a pass because he was good at one point.
Yeah. Whereas, he's an excellent defensive infielder. Whereas, George Grant sure is.
Edwin Encarnacion gets...
yeah.
It's just funny.
Dude, did you perception. See that... Did you see that thing, that nasty thing that Hal McCoy had to say about Edwin Encarnacion in that
one? About him not smiling or something?
Yeah, about how he's only motivated by money and nothing. Wow, I would like some proof of that, you codger. For crying out loud, just going around, like, saying nasty things about people's character without demonstrating any reason for doing it just makes you sound kind of bitter and nasty, old man.
Well, that is, you know, not too... besmirch someone else's character, but that is kind of the way that Hal McCoy always writes.
Just
like a crazy, bitter old man.
Or do you mean just like putting things forward without any kind of proof behind
Well, he's done that too.
There's been a bit of rumor mongering, a little bit of remember when Dunn broke his hand? Hal McCoy was all over that. Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Get him on the phone. Oh, I don't need no split. Oh yes. Oh, those were good times. Man, we are rambling a lot tonight.
Well, that's about all there is to talk about in terms
that,
of the trades.
I heard that Teixeira was on his way to Atlanta. Is there any truth to that, or did I just see a rumor in a headline?
I haven't had a chance to
look at what
other,
else is
other
doing?
Trades.
What about other teams in the NLC?
Well, the Brewers continue to fall.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, the Reds...
Well, I meant trade-wise, but, I mean, you can talk about their records if
the
you want.
Well, let's go through the standings real quick. Okay. The Reds took 3 of 4 from them.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
And then they...
Oh, I remember. It's awesome.
And then...
Didn't they, like, beat the heck out of the Cardinals the game right after that, though?
I think so, but then the very next day they had a doubleheader against the Cardinals in St. Louis and lost both of them to the Cardinals.
That's tough. You know, you don't get a sweep of a doubleheader. Well, you don't see a doubleheader that often, but you don't get a sweep of them that often. When there's a doubleheader, do they stop selling beer in the seventh inning of the first game?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, that would suck. The entire second game with no beer? Or they could stop at the seventh inning to the end of the game and then restart for the next one. They don't, like, sing the national anthem again or anything, do they?
That would be funny.
Just like, do over. Try that one again. So if you found anything in there that sounds
no,
like...
No, Teixeira has not been traded.
Okay, I must have just read a rumor.
I've seen him rumored, too. I think it would be kind of odd for the Rangers to do that, unless he's going to be making a huge amount of raise of money next year. But.
Well, I went, you know, I started a new job, and I don't really feel that comfortable. I haven't even visited my own site yet from there. Even though the place is, like, so incredibly busy, I don't think that they would have time to monitor my internet usage, even if anyone was looking at it. But and you wouldn't think I'd be so nervous about it being on a three-month contract. Like, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
Like, ooh. Yeah, now you'll, now I'm down to 2.5 months. Or something along those lines. But, yeah. In any event, I haven't been keeping up with the baseball news during the workday like I used to.
Yeah.
Just haven't had the time. Haven't had the
There
access.
Really haven't been any big trades.
Boring.
Yeah, it's been incredibly boring.
Well,
We've still got another day here before the deadline, the non-waiver deadline happens, but it's kind of odd. Like, why? I mean, there were some big trades last year.
Were there? I mean, besides Krisky.
I think there was.
Well, I think that, you know, the trade last year was such a big deal. But, you know, it wasn't just a big deal to Reds fans. That was a trade that was well-known across baseball. I would sort of like to see that from the other side sometime. I'd like to see someone, a different team, get completely hornswoggled and see what it feels like not to be the one that was, you know.
Well, what's kind of funny, though, is it's worked out terribly for both teams so far.
Oh, has it been terrible for...
Kearns and Lopez have done nothing.
Well, they were both kind of emotionally, you know, a little bit touchy, so I'm not too surprised by that, really, but...
I'm not saying that the Reds didn't lose. I'm just saying that neither team has benefited. I mean, they're both still in last...
Well, yeah.
Well, the Reds aren't in last place.
No, they're not. Thank you, Pittsburgh. Thank you very much, Pittsburgh.
So yeah,
what else?
Back to the standings. Thanks to Milwaukee being swept by the Cardinals in that doubleheader, it's the Cubs are now one game back.
Dude. This morning, maybe yesterday morning, I was listening to just some stupid Indianapolis radio station, and they were talking about baseball, and they were talking about the Cubs and the Reds, and they do both those scores and give the Cubs first, and they were saying, "Oh, the Cubs are only a game out of this division. They could take the division." I'm like, "Wow, people really think that." Because it's nice to have to get an occasional glimpse into what the general public sees when they look. Because you know, you get so deep into something and
holy crap,
what do you got?
Well, you were right.
Oh,
Teixeira has been dealt.
Hey, I know something. Sweet.
To the Braves. This is probably the biggest trade so far this year.
Okay. In one of the most significant midseason moves in club history and one of the most anticipated, the Rangers traded Mark Teixeira and left-handed reliever Ron Mayhay to the Atlanta Braves on Monday for catcher Jared...
Saltomachia.
Ah.
Shortstop. He Elvis, was coveted.
Elvis. Elvis Anderson, a 19-year-old...
Yeah, the key to that is Saltomachia. There's been a lot of people who really like that. Catcher.
Man, stitching that jersey has to be a challenge.
Mm.
Damn.
Yeah, I think it'd be really easy to miss one of those 8 A's.
No joke, man. Wow.
So that's a big one.
Yeah. I mean, it's not likely to have too much impact on our view of things, but...
No, but
you never know. You just never know.
It could help the Braves. They're only 4.5 back.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
I don't think it'll help the Rangers. I don't think they're... No, they're just sitting in last place. They're done for the year.
Mm. Well,
but they got Saltomachia, good young... Mm. Probably one of the best young catching prospects in the majors right now.
Mm. What else we got in the standings? We talked about... I keep getting distracted.
It's okay.
We talked about Milwaukee briefly and their downward spiral, the Cubs being just a game out, and then St. Louis in third.
The Cardinals are only 4 games under 500.
Wow.
Like, last year I thought they were winning on, with smoke and mirrors, and I don't know how they're winning now.
Really? They were on fumes before. What are they? Are they living on love? Are they living on love?
It's the spirit of Josh Hancock compels them.
Perhaps. Houston is within striking distance there at 46 and 59.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. No, within. No, no, no. Cincinnati could overtake Houston.
Oh,
not that Houston can overtake Milwaukee.
Okay.
No, no, no. Yeah, I'm saying they're within striking distance of the Reds. Like, yeah. They could potentially be in fifth pretty
soon. Sure. It's looking like the Reds have a decent shot at finishing fourth this year.
Well, I don't know. Without Loesch? Without Loveshack in AAA?
Without the guy that they sent along with Loveshack for Jorge Cantu, I actually kind of liked and thought he probably should have been up in the bullpen with
that.
The majors this year. I mean, given the recycled crap they kept.
How much worse could he have been? And what about this Cantu character? Is he any good? Are we going to be glad to have him around?
I don't see any space for him. The most he can do, I think, is improve the bench, which is
certainly
a weakness.
In need
it needs
of
it, but
being improved, that's for sure.
I don't know. I think it's a minor deal. I think Kripke's hoping for another Brandon Phillips type thing to happen.
Oh, that'd be a miracle.
It'd be also impossible since you can only have one second baseman.
Yeah.
And that's what Cantu is.
What about, I understand that our good friend Joel was on 700 WLW
today.
That's
right.
And I did not hear it because I didn't find out about it until after it was going on. And then, of course, I was, like I said, neck deep in Harry Potter. Not only that, but I've taken up another brief aside because nothing's going on in baseball. I've taken up jogging because I need some. I used to be part of a gym. I used to be able to get on the elliptical machine, but since I changed jobs, I don't have access to that gym anymore. So I've taken up jogging, and I'm really, 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 really bad at it. I don't know anything about running. I've never really run before, but it's something you can do without any equipment. You don't have to have any. You don't have to have a team. You don't have to have anyone else go with you, so I can just run. But, just starting off, I went and checked out, schedules for how to train for a marathon. And it's like, don't start training for a marathon until you're running 25 miles a week. I'm like, I might be able to run 25 miles a month. Maybe. I don't know. So, last 2 days I've done 0.8 miles in 10 minutes.
Ooh.
Which you figure is fantastic because it can only go up from there. It can only get better. That's pretty awful. And I'm really sore and in pain. But my point being that I've had other things to do. I am sorry that I missed out on being on the radio.
There's an MP3 posted, so
we'll
be able to listen to it. I heard Doherty right after it. Like, my computer was turned off, which was odd.
Mm-hmm.
I never turned it off, so it...
Turned itself off?
I don't know. But afterwards, Doherty was just talking about how the Reds should trade Dunn because they can't afford him next year.
Okay.
Like, what? But, yes, they can.
Yeah, I think they probably can.
It'll only be a few million dollars more than he makes this year. Plus, they won't have Milton. They won't have Loesch. They won't... I think they can.
Hallelujah, Milton.
That's not a reason to trade him.
No, it isn't.
Because you think they can't afford him.
Well, not only that, but what are they going to get for him? Nothing. Big fat nothing. That'd be a net loss.
Yeah. There's no reason to trade him. And no good reason, I don't think. And there was some articles in the Inquirer. Joel had some input along with Justin. And another guy I wasn't familiar with gave some statistical reasoning, which I'm sure turned a lot of people off.
Yeah.
Now, what's funny is, when I started paying attention to baseball again, and all throughout my childhood, really, I just assumed that statistics were how players were judged.
Yeah.
And it still boggles my mind that that's actually not true.
Yeah,
I can't accept that.
I am totally with you on that. I assumed that, within an organization or within the scouting, that was just a part of what they did. And of course you would consider that. It's so obvious.
And
it's right there in front of your face.
I thought the big controversy was moving, like when I was a kid, the big stats were always for hitters, average, home run, RBI, stolen base for certain players.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the big controversy was moving from average to on-base percentage, which seemed like a no-brainer to me.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But no, there's just lots of scouts and people who think that stats don't mean anything.
Yeah, that's pretty...
They hate stat mean quite a bit, but...
It seems like so duh.
And there were
but
some
in any event,
good articles in the Inquirer about trying to... get a grasp of how valuable Dunn actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to lose. Like, you see him strike out with someone on second, and you're like, oh, you can't hit runners in scoring position.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't fair. He does a lot of other things very well. But, yeah. I thought it was kind of nice to see some of the bloggers get attention.
That is nice. That's nice to see them being... It's so obvious that there is a wealth of knowledge and understanding and at least differing points of view that's available in Reds fandom, and so much of it just gets ignored, and it's really nice to see that someone is paying some attention to it. We were talking about... who were we talking about where you recently that you were talking about a catcher who had been unlucky? We were talking about a pitcher. I don't remember what the circumstances were. And you're saying, well, like he'd had a good year, and then he'd been injured, and then he came back and he'd had a really bad year, except it wasn't that bad because he had really been very unlucky. Oh no, who was 0-10?
Oh, Anthony Reyes for the Cardinals.
Right, Anthony Reyes for the Cardinals.
Yeah, in the second game of that doubleheader, right. He picked up his first win after going 0-10 on the year.
Right, and you were saying, well, it's not really fair. It wasn't his fault. He's unlucky,
well,
but. I don't know, because I think that's kind of the shortcoming of the stat, is that it tries to take luck out of the picture. Like, if there weren't luck, this is how good this player would be. But there is luck. Luck is a part of the game.
But it changes.
Well, but maybe it doesn't, maybe it doesn't. I mean, maybe you need to measure the luck, too. You need to consider that. Perhaps you need to, look at their stats with beard, without beard.
Well, I think facial hair is one of the most underrated
socks showing
things.
Socks not showing.
At least for Reds. I mean,
don't
I remember
underwear.
Jason LaRue going on an offensive tear last year when he had the free mustache rides.
Oh, yes. I miss LaRue. See, he was a character. If nothing else, he was a character. You got some nasty little quips in the newspapers. You got people complaining that he complained all the time. You got people showing up out of the woodwork to bitch about him. It's great. Now you get Ross. Nobody has anything bad to say about him.
Nope.
Nobody has anything good to say about him, except occasionally
he can throw out runners.
People show up
and he occasionally
say he's awesome.
Catches balls and holds on to them when they're thrown to the plate.
Very occasionally.
Very occasionally. It's amazing. It's like, holy crap, he used his glove.
Dude, did you see that that Friel made from center field, that unholy throw that he made from center field? And it was like it got to him at such perfect timing he didn't have time to drop it.
I know. And he was like hit before he even realized he had something in his glove to drop. It was awesome. It's like, that's how you do it.
Here you go. You got to time that throw. Don't get it there too early. You don't want to have time to think about it.
Well, that's about all there is. Oh, maybe the Reds will do something fun tomorrow. Although there is some. I was listening to some Reds games. The afternoon game at work last week,
mm-hmm.
And there was a commercial that came on that Joe Knoxall was doing
right.
for some abused children's. Nonprofit or something.
Yeah.
And it was just so funny because he says, and I like hear it and I'm like, what? He says, help abuse disabled and needy children.
Yeah. I heard this commercial. I heard that help abuse disabled and needy children? Do we need help abusing them?
Aren't they already downtrodden enough? Do they need abuse from baseball fans heaped upon them?
Yeah, you know what, scriptwriters out there? You know, if you're using the word abused, don't follow it with disabled. It's difficult
enough. The D's slide together,
for
I
anyone.
Think.
It's difficult enough for anyone to differentiate those words, to make it that distinct. But then you got Joe Knoxall, man. And, you know, he doesn't speak as clearly as he once did. I'm just saying. He's got some pouchy cheek flesh getting in the way there.
Some jowls.
He's got some jowls. Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah, we should get a clip of it if we can find one. Of course, we'd have to be recording 700, I guess. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
See if we can get a clip of it, and everyone can be amused at the fact that Joe Knoxall wants to abuse disabled and needy children. He probably could do some damage.
I don't know.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, I don't think he could catch them.
They're disabled. I think he could.
Wheelchairs can be fast.
Well, if they've got the wheelchairs, that's good. But the needy ones, yeah, they could probably run away. if that's all. Anyway, so is that all we got?
That's all.
So the Reds were off this evening. They just, what happened with the Cubs? They get their asses kicked by the Cubs?
Yep, they sure did.
Yeah, what was that? We had a Cubs troll show up for a minute on Red Hot Mama.
They posted the same thing, I think, on all the blogs.
Stupid crap on all the blogs, and then didn't even show up to, like, retort when people told him off.
Ran away.
Oh.
I think he stole.
Well, probably the fact that what he said didn't make any sense. Yeah. Probably impeded him a little bit.
But up next...
Who's next?
The Reds are going to Washington.
All right. Finally. Yeah, that'll be great. Go out. Kearns and Dunn go out drinking again.
They can get their... Yeah, get their groove thing on together.
They can go looking for Kearns' batter all around town. And they can... I don't know. It's always nice to see Bowden. It's always a treat.
Yeah, that's what his ex-wife thinks, too.
So we'll be looking forward to that. Who's pitching? Who's going to be pitching now that Loesch is out of the rotation?
They don't know yet. They haven't announced.
Somebody. Who was it that they took out of the Bats game? DeMontre.
It could be him. It could be him. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll be looking forward to it. Now that the Harry Potter book is over, I'll be watching again. And I don't even have to get into the next one until the next movie starts coming out. But I'll probably do it earlier than that. Anyway, so is that all you got?
That's all.
All right, well, we'll be looking forward to the series with the Nationals and looking forward to the Reds overtaking fourth place from the Astros. And until then, keep on hanging in there and go Reds!
The Red Hot Broadcast is recorded weekly in front of a live studio audience. To send your comments to the show, email us at rhm@red-hot-mama.com and visit the website at red-hot-mama.com.